close.
Yeah,
it was real close.
It was in the ballpark.
Yeah,
which it might have been in the upper deck, but it was
all
in there.
That I aimed for.
Yeah, guys, it's Gilmore Gabs. We're doing a special Gilmore Gabs.
We are. All right, cool.
Special bump up a bonus episode, and guys, we gotta get. This was a requested get from Twitter too.
Oh,
there was a fervor in the fan base. For this particular guest. Who is it? I haven't introduced him yet, so we don't know.
Oh, it's going to be a surprise.
It could be anybody.
Yeah,
I'm
excited to hear it.
It could be anybody. It could be...
President Obama?
It could be...
Is it Obama?
I don't know.
Tom Hanks, even though he canceled on us.
Tom Hanks is canceled on us.
If you recall in the past,
oh,
yeah.
That may have been my fault.
He's super flaky.
We will
like Tony the Tiger. But
that would be Frosted Flaky.
He would be... yeah, that's like if he has gray hair, but he's also very flaky.
Frosted tips.
Yeah. He's frosted tip flaky.
I think that was more the burbs.
Mm. Guys, oh, let's introduce our guest right now.
La la, la la, special guest.
Well, you know this gentleman from this very show, Gilmore Girls. He is Brad. He is a veteran of the acting industry, a voice aller, a voice over talent, and a magician. We're going to talk to him all about it today on Gilmore Gabs, ladies and gentlemen. It's Adam Wiley.
Hey, everybody. What's up?
Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, this was, you know, the special Twitter request. I kind of saw it and was like, hey, that'd be really fun, you know? So why not?
So you've been in so much stuff. You've done so much work. Your IMDb credits, rather, are as long as...
Yeah, they're older than I am.
They're older than you are. So what do you get, like, you're on the street. Adam Wiley's going out for a coffee.
Oh, yeah.
What do you get recognized for the most, actually?
The most is nondescript, actually, to be honest. A lot of people come up to me and they go, you know, you look exactly... Did you grow up in Idaho? We went to the same church. Where did you grow up? Because I know I've seen you, and they can't place it.
So they've probably seen you in something.
Yes,
they think
that's
they just
number
know
one.
You personally. Okay.
That's number one.
Okay.
I would say number two is actually Gilmore Girls.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Gilmore Girls is number two. Probably Picket Fences is number three or
okay.
four.
Okay, that was a TV show in the 90s.
It was, yeah. I get Wicked a lot, too.
You were in a production of Wicked?
Yeah, I did I was the original Bach in the LA Company.
Wow. Yeah.
So I get Wicked a lot.
Is Buck the one that sings The Trouble with Schools Is?
No, that's
nope.
Fiero. Yeah,
oh,
I was the Tin Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What was your big number?
I have a couple of them. I sing in Dancing Through Life.
Okay.
But I mean, March of the Witch Hunters, which comes in right after No Good Deed.
Okay, cool.
So, you know, when Eden Espinosa belts her face off, then I have to go on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That act.
In
you
your
know, no
intro.
No one wants to follow that because she's amazing.
I should have said a veteran of stage
it's
and
okay.
screen.
It's okay.
Because you are a noted, because they also wrote it into the
show. They did write it in, yeah.
Well let's go to that. Let's go to... cut to the year was 2001 or it might have been 2000. I don't know, but this is
it was 2000 I think when I originally started guest starring on the show.
Okay.
And I think it was 2003 was my last season
final appearance in the season three finale. What a send off, by the way.
I know, right?
So
I was
good.
So excited when I read that script.
So yeah, let's talk about that process. So they were looking for the call went out, and they were looking for what kind of
They were
character?
Looking for a one-time guest star.
Okay.
A one-time guest spot on the show, four lines maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Amy Sherman-Palladino from before, because we had done a pilot together, which was incredible, which didn't last a long
time. Well, tell us about this pilot.
Time. It was called Love and Marriage. And
I've,
it
heard,
was
okay,
actually
yeah, I've heard,
okay,
yeah,
actually, well... It was on after Married with Children,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, Love and Marriage is part of their theme song.
Mm-hmm.
It lasted maybe six episodes. It was so funny, and it was great, and it was a three-camera live audience shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun with it, and unfortunately, it didn't go. It was with Adam Zolotin from the movie Jack, who we still talk every once in a while. He's a friend of mine. But it didn't last very long, and, you know, she had always said there were, like, a couple of people she really enjoyed working with. She was like, I've always really enjoyed working with you. You know, I wrote this new show called Gilmore Girls. I would love for you to come in for. You know, it's just, like, a small, like, guest spot role, but, you know, we'll see. And I was like, okay, yeah, why not?
Sure.
So she actually requested me for the audition. I went into the audition, I remember. I read it once it was like three or four lines, and it was mostly saying my name over mm-hmm. and over again in front of Paris. And I was like, okay, all right. And I remember them in the audition going, yeah, could you go faster? Mm-hmm. All of those little breaths you're taking. Yeah, we move real quick on this
show. Not feeling the pauses.
So we're not feeling those pauses. Yeah, you've got to, we've got to be able to, you know, laugh over your jokes. So go ahead and you know, take out any gaps you can, by the way. And this was before I even like read it. They were just like, just you know, mm-hmm. get through it. And I was like, all right. But they're like, still be funny.
Yeah.
Still got to be funny. But you got to, you know, the pacing. And I was like, okay, I'm scared. So I did it.
At that point, did you have a lot of experience with like stage and stuff where
oh, yeah.
the rhythm is a
yeah.
lot more like da 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 da?
Yeah, I mean, the rhythm was a little new. I'm mm-hmm. not going to lie. I don't think I ever like really got used to it because my episodes were so scattered and spread far between. So it was always something that you had to go, oh, right. And then kind of
get
into
in
it
that
from there.
Zone.
Absolutely. The danger zone.
I might have been making this up, but I think I read. There's a book called The Gilmore Girls Companion that a guy named A.S. Berman put together. And he talked about there was a dialogue coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you work 100%. With him?
I did. Lovely, lovely guy. Was actually one of the, I think, he starred in Cats on Broadway,
oh,
I believe.
Okay.
Really, really cool. So he was also a singer, which was really fun when we got to the graduation episode.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a really cool, like,
so what
thing.
Is the role of a dialogue coach on a show like Gilmore Girls, which it's, most hour-long dramas probably don't have a dialogue coach?
Yeah. Mainly the role on that is to make sure that the actors understand the comic delivery with the pacing.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of help the writers and producers kind of realize what they want the overall series to look. Because that show did have a really specific pacing and timing, not like most shows that were around in that time,
mm-hmm.
And really not like a show that's on now. It was its own kind of deal, which is really cool and kind of TV forward, I guess you'd say.
You know, the closest antecedent, we haven't even talked about this on the show, but I think the closest antecedent I could say to the show would be Moonlighting. Like the first couple of years of that.
Oh, yeah.
With Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd.
Sure.
Because it was just like, blah, 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 blah,
yep.
like all
Very
on top
quick.
Of each other, super quick and super fun and
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, I forgot about that show.
Yeah, I know.
I loved that show.
It's one of those shows, like, it was amazing for a little bit, and
totally.
Then it kind of petered out.
I never saw any of it.
Yeah?
It was a really good show. You missed out.
Yeah.
You missed out. Maybe Netflix.
I think it's on Hulu. Yeah.
Oh, it's on Hulu. There
I
you go.
So.
Well, you can
so
go ahead and
Hulu it up. So the dialogue coach would be on set.
The dialogue coach would be on set and would work with you and just make sure that you have everything down. It wasn't like a lengthy, really process. It was, okay, you got, okay, perfect, great. And just do that when we're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that would always be about it for me. But anyway, back to the process of the auditioning, which we got a little sidetracked from.
Sure.
I remember just being very quick, kind of like the pacing of the show, mm-hmm. how I just went into the audition. I came out and it was like, oh, you got it. And, you know,
they told you at the audition.
They told me like an hour after.
Oh, that's fun.
It was insane. And I was like, okay, that's fantastic. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
And I remember doing the first episode and then them saying, you know what, we're going to bring you back. And I was like, okay. Cause I didn't know it was they didn't even know that it was going to be a reoccurring,
right.
Which was really fun. Like that's always like the special gift inside the box. Being mm-hmm. like, hey, guess what? You know, you were supposed to have four lines and now you're reoccurring on the show. So I'm like, yes. So it was pretty awesome.
So for that, your first episode was in season two.
Uh-huh.
And I think the thing that we all remember probably is your relationship with Paris.
Absolutely.
As played by Liza Wilde.
I love her. Yes.
Man, so for this show, did this show have a table read and then rehearsals and then shooting? Or like, what was that process like?
What's funny is it didn't often have a table read. My first episode was in correlation with the spinoff episode or the spinoff series that they were trying out for a while.
Oh, what was that?
Yeah, it was a spinoff following one of the guys. I couldn't remember.
Oh, Jess?
Yes.
Windward Circle?
Yes, that was it. Yes.
Oh.
That was one of your first episodes?
That was my first episode.
Are
I
you
believe.
Sure?
I'm not 100% positive,
I don't think
but it was
so.
One of my first episodes.
I think your first episode was in season two.
Oh, you're right. My first episode was in season
two.
So that was, I guess, the premiere of season three then?
The Jess one was the penultimate episode of season 3.
That's right. So it was the penultimate episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That's that. We had two table reads. That was one of them, and there was another table read.
Okay.
So we only had two. But mostly for a show like that, it's done more like a film, unless it's a special episode such as that.
Okay.
Where they would do a table read just because it's something that's significantly happening in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So you just get the script.
Oh, so like if it's a big episode, they'd be like, oh, we need a table read for this.
Exactly.
But if it's business as usual, it's like, oh, we'll do it when we get the pages. And yeah.
Do you think the table reads are more for like we need to especially prepare, or do you think they're more promotional for the networks? Because I know some of them.
I think it was really more promotional for the networks. That's kind of the vibe I got from it, because a lot of like the network people were there and producers around and such.
Interesting,
so
right.
It's really just a tradition I find with big episodes from a lot of different shows. Some do a table read every week, some don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just depends on what the cast vibe and producer vibe they want from the show is, really.
Totally.
Yeah.
So like working with Liza on that stuff,
was
that something where... some people go like super method, and it's like, if we don't like each other, let's not talk. All on the set, like, don't look at me, Brad, or like use the character names.
Yeah, no, we
like,
were real good friends.
Oh, yeah.
Liza was awesome. We would talk and chat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So sweet. Like, she's one of the sweetest people living on the planet. I love her. So we would talk even to the point of it would be like rolling and be like, oh, okay, we gotta actually pretend we're doing a scene now. So
so she'd just be like verbally destroying you and just like hanging Brad out to dry, and then she'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, was that okay?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's almost exactly how it was. I remember we were at, I think, the season 2 wrap party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like reaching for an hors d'oeuvre or something and not looking, and I accidentally slapped her across the face. I felt so bad.
Oh,
I was like, oh my God, Liza, I'm so sorry. And she literally like looked at me, went, how dare you, and slapped me back, and like we laughed about it. It wasn't serious
at all.
But she was like, huh. And we just laughed for like 10 minutes about that.
I think,
and it became like a recurring joke.
Physical abuse.
Yeah. Her physically abusing me.
Well, that would be, I mean, that footage would be priceless.
It was awesome.
Brad slapping Paris.
Like, yeah, accidentally.
Brad's revenge.
Go over well.
So amazing. What are some other stories you remember from your time on the show, or things stick out to you?
God, I remember Chad Michael Murray's first episode.
Okay.
And I remember hanging out with him on the lot. And him going, yeah, this business, I don't know if I'm going to last in it. You know, I just don't know if I'm going to ever, like, you know, like, I remember thinking to myself, this guy should be, like, a big movie star. Like, he's got this quality about him. And then, like, a year later, you know, here he is, like, blowing up and doing, like,
One Tree Hill
and all of these movies and, like, House of Wax and all this stuff. And I'm just like, wow, that's pretty crazy. I remember Teal and Shelley too. We were all
Madeline
really
Louise.
Good friends.
Yes,
yeah, we were all really good friends, and always enjoyed like hanging out. And they were usually on episodes that I was on, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so like I know it's different on different sets, but like for the culture of the set, especially for the Chilton students and for Gilmore Girls, it sounds like it was pretty friendly and pretty chummy. People would hang out with each other, and I would assume that would help a lot with like cast chemistry and making those relationships real.
Definitely. Everyone was really friendly. We would throw the baseball or football, you know, on set like the guys would or whatever, or hang out and just get really, really friendly with each other. And that does really help for a bond of friendship. And a comfortability, because even if you're somebody's enemy, you still have to be very comfortable with them because you're still acting with them in the scene, and you have to almost be more comfortable to be enemies than to be friends.
Yeah, kiss or kill position, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep your friends closer, your enemies closer.
Exactly, bro. And one of the other kind of legends of like the Gilmore Girls sets were how long the days would go.
Oh yeah,
a lot of times.
Oh yeah,
like 12-hour days were pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
There's one tale in the book about like a 21 and a half hour day.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me at all.
So like what was a common work day for you? Like you show up to set.
Let's see. I show up to set probably about 8 o'clock. I work about 2. Yep. From 8 o'clock till about 2. I'm just kind of
sitting there in my reading a book.
Chilton uniform, doing magic usually.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a magician.
Uh-huh.
Would you perform it? Would you like be working on tricks in your trailer? Or would you like entertain the cast and crew?
Both. Okay. Both. I'll work on some tricks in the trailer when I want to learn some new stuff. But most of the time, I am walking around with a deck of cards, just shuffling.
Yeah.
And anyone who's in the area, if they want to see anything, they know that I'm their entertainment for the day if I'm on set. So that's pretty much my MO wherever I'm working and whatever I'm doing. So I would do that a lot. And, you know, it's a good way to... Magic for me is also another way to harbor my acting skills because it's huge in improv. And it's just another sense of performing because it really is acting in a sense. You're just acting with the skill of sleight of hand. So it's not much different, to be honest, from either stage or improvising something. So
yeah, it's all kind of the... It's like there's one thing that you do, which is like performing or entertaining, and there's like these different streams. It's almost like a different, just like a different package in a way, where it's like you're making 100%. Chicken, but sometimes the chicken's in a salad, and sometimes it's you know, fried chicken, sometimes it's a
chicken marsala. You know, you can
exactly
all the chickens you want.
Sometimes or the chicken is pulled out of a hat.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a magic chicken. Yeah,
sometimes you pull hats out of rabbits.
Nice
because
magic
I'm
chicken.
Exactly. So, well, that's a funny thing too, because correct me if I'm wrong about this, but you were in the production of Into the Woods.
Uh-huh.
Was it the Broadway production?
It was the Broadway revival.
Okay, and then they wrote that into the show.
Yeah, so in 2002, I moved to New York to do Into the Woods. And they knew about it. And I was actually on a TV show called Ed as well at the time in New York.
So it's Tom Cavanaugh on NBC.
Yeah, which was also a phenomenal cast. And most of their directors were also magicians. So that was pretty...
Really?
Yeah, so I was surrounded by magicians like the whole time.
Who were the directors on that show?
There was a bunch of different people that came in and out. And Tom Cavanaugh was a big magic fan. I think he did Jesus Christ Superstar or something in like high school. And then like one of my episodes happened to be about Jesus Christ Superstar or someone doing it, which was pretty ironic. But I moved out to New York. I did the Broadway revival of Into the Woods. You know, I came back and they're like, oh, we'd like to, you know, we'd like you to come back and do more Gilmore Girls. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And Amy Sherman Palladino has such an amazing sense of humor and wrote my life story basically into the show. I was like, why not? Let's say if Brad did that.
It's just such a funny idea. Like, Brad's at Chilton, but then he just
goes off and does Broadway and comes right back.
That's so
It was so clever.
One of your lines in that episode. Do you know what I'm about to say? Well, why don't you?
We've had a dialogue about whether or not the Nathan Hale. I don't know why.
Nathan Lane.
Okay.
Nathan
Lane. The Nathan Lane line about like, it was like Nathan Lane is really difficult to work with or something. We were wondering why that would be written. Was he in your production of Into the Woods?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was just
a total like throwaway.
Yeah.
Just a pop culture reference.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that, man, or something.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I think a lot of it was improv, I want to say. From those scenes, they let us have a little bit of creativity because I was kind of the Into the Woods master.
Oh, really? So you could contribute like,
So I did. I did like say, no, that's not right. We need to change that.
One of my favorite parts of that episode is Paris terrorizing you.
Oh, me too.
By singing Into magic beans.
Yeah, she's who's got the beans? We've got the beans, the magic beans. And I remember she just went off. Like that was like, it was written, but she just said whatever she wanted. And
That's
hilarious.
Fun.
That's great.
And I just remember thinking, oh my God, about these beans. This is perfect. Like for someone who wouldn't be like in the know of musical theater, just knowing kind of the gist, that's perfect.
Yeah, totally.
So it was awesome. It was awesome. I remember laughing hysterically when I read that scene and was like, oh, Liza's going to kill this.
Yeah, because does she do a lot of stage acting herself or is she
I'm actually not sure. I want to say she primarily does television and film. But who knows? I guess we'll have to ask her.
Yes.
Next on Gilmore Guys.
On Gilmore Guys. Tune in next time.
Right.
So, and then the graduation episode.
Oh, yes.
Chilton graduation.
So much fun.
You get to make your big speech and you sing Cherish.
I do.
Whose idea was that?
That was all them. That was all them.
Okay.
Yeah. That was completely and totally the writer's brilliant idea
of
me singing Cherish. And I remember getting the CD, and I knew the song beforehand, but like popping it in and reading the script And hearing that on CD, I just busted up. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is going to be hysterical. Yeah. This is going to be excellent. And I remember reading like the quips of them saying, please, Brad, don't do this. You know, save yourself.
and the reaction shots are so funny. So it's where everyone's just like, oh.
Great. And we did a couple of different endings of the song. You know, there was some where I just like went off and some where I just didn't. Some where I was, you know, quiet and thinking and... It was really fun. We did a lot of different takes, and I think the one that ended up being used is the best. So
yeah,
it was really great.
Proper send off for a great character.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
What do you think?
There was talk about them. They were like, maybe Brad will be in college. We don't know.
You'll and go I
was
to like, Yale.
Really? Yeah,
yeah.
But
I was gonna say, what sadly. Do you think Brad is in Brad's future?
Yeah. Okay. So Brad graduates Chilton. It's 2003. Yeah.
Hmm.
You would know better than any of us.
I would.
What would Brad do after that?
Go back to Broadway?
He could.
You know, I think he might go back to Broadway. Or it could be one of those stories where he just kind of is so tired of being bullied, he becomes a bodybuilder. You know those stories where like they're like, no, and he's like, Brad now. And he ends up doing like romance novels. You know?
like posing on the covers. Yeah.
So he ends up being huge and muscular and being the next Fabio.
See, that's the spinoff I want to see.
And what's that spinoff called? Brad to the Bone?
Body by Brad.
Brad to the Bone is great.
Brad to the Bone. Oh, that's better.
I was going to say Mr. Langford.
That would be the... Ooh. I'm also into that.
Yeah.
Be a great spinoff.
Yeah. Well, and with the show coming recently back on Netflix.
Fantastic.
Have you experienced kind of a resurgence of
100,000%.
Really?
Yes.
That's so great.
It has been so much fun for people to be like, you know what I was recently doing a marathon of? I was recently doing a marathon of Gilmore Girls, and I totally forgot you were in that. I came across your episode. I was like, well, keep watching. Because it gets pretty fun. And it's pretty cool. A lot of people actually were going, oh, I didn't know you were on that show, which is so much fun. And I love that it's gotten a resurgence. Like it's really a blessing when that stuff happens and your work keeps coming back up. And you know,
do you see it on Twitter a lot or in person?
I do see it on Twitter a lot. There's a lot of people that mention it on Twitter, in person too. I think it's a tie between Twitter and in person, to be honest. Because a lot of people do say, hey, guess what I was watching? Hey, guess what was on there?
Right.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Any other stories you remember from your time on the show or like funny, interesting tidbits?
I mean, I remember always talking with Alexis just about life in general. I saw her a couple years later, just after she had done Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, and I also grew up with Blake Lively. Her dad was my manager and acting coach growing up. He taught me like just about everything I know. He was really helpful in studying my craft and shaping the not only dramatic but comedian that I turned out to be. So I owe a lot of credit to him. But we were just talking about like that experience and all that stuff and like what we're doing now. I ran into her just the last time I ran into her was right here outside the Petco, right? And so it was literally around the corner from here, which is pretty cool.
So she's loitering in the area.
She is loitering in the area. You guys
someone
gotta go
call
ahead
the
and,
cops.
keep your eyes peeled and everything. We all just had a lot of fun. I got to, even though I didn't share many scenes with like Melissa McCarthy, we did see each other a little bit and all that stuff. So I recently got to go to a taping of Mike and Molly and saw her afterwards. And she was like, oh, you know, and she remembered me and that was really cool.
And that's a funny thing too, because I think the perception of the set for Gilmore Girls is that it was kind of a tough place to work. Long days, word perfect dialogue, you know, like just kind of like a really, because the show is so good, they had to put so much work into it, and that meant long hours. But it's cool to hear too that it's like it was a fun place to be. And
it
like,
really was.
It was kind of
such
chill.
A fun environment. Like it kind of made the long days worth it because you got to hang out with your friends longer,
right?
You know, and yes, everything had to be word perfect, and yes, there were long days. But when you're in an environment like that, you're happy to be there. So that was a great thing about it.
And especially when people are talking about 15 years later. Yeah. It's like,
exactly.
Oh, yeah, we probably did a good
totally.
Thing.
But I do remember, even so, especially the graduation episode, that looking back on it, I went, I swear I took a breath there. And I remember them editing me to be faster.
Oh.
Even so.
Wow.
So even my pacing wasn't fast enough.
That's so funny.
Which is, you know, which is fine. As long as they are happy with what comes out, I'm happy. So, but it's just interesting to see how it's all put together.
And what kind of stuff are you working on now? Like, what do you have to plug?
I just did an episode of Castle, so that was a lot of fun. I had a great time being an usher and helping solve a murder. So that was really, really cool. Had a good guest spot on that. I'm doing a benefit for the stage benefit at the Saban Theater. I'm the voice of Peter Pan right now on Jake and the Neverland Pirates. So that's that's pretty cool. And still doing the magic thing. I perform at the Magic Castle every once in a while.
The Magic Castle, Hollywood, California. Much so, fabled.
Yeah.
And where can people find you on Twitter?
They can find me on Twitter on at This Is Adam Wiley.
Very declarative.
Yes, it is. This is Adam Wiley.
Who is Adam Wiley?
This is me.
I don't know. I think it's me.
This is Adam Wiley.
There you go. Oh my God, he's back again. So yeah, and then I also have a fan page on the Facebook. So, you know, come follow me on that too.
Absolutely.
And see what I'm doing.
Right on. Well, Adam, thank you so much for taking the time and reminiscing about all things Gilmore and giving us a little insight to the process and the set and everything about that. And now we're going to play off gently into the sunset. We'll make up our own words.
It's the Gilmore Girls and they sing.
You guys are good. You guys are totally in sync.
Yeah,
it's like graduation.
Magic tricks on the set.
At Chilton.
Having a great time. Slap, slap, slap. Thank you so much, Adam.
Anytime.